This is John Manna from Worship Drummer, and today I'm so excited to announce to you a brand new resource from worshipdrummer.com, the Worship Drummer Podcast. Hey guys, I'm John Manna, your host for the Worship Drummer Podcast. This is our very first episode, episode number one. And before we get to introducing our first guest, I just want to let you guys know that the Worship Drummer Podcast is actually dedicated to you. Our goal, our heart, our desire is to introduce you to some of the best Christian drummers out there who are striving to perfect their craft, to put in the hard work, and all the while still put the heart before the beat. Just before we get started with our first episode, just wanted to invite you to send us an email. You have ideas, maybe you have some worship drummers that you'd want us to interview on the show. Send an email to me, John, J-O-N, at worshipdrummer.com. Again, that's John at worshipdrummer.com, J-O-N. And I'll be happy to see what I can do and make any adjustments or tweaks to our podcast. We want this to be a valuable resource for every worship drummer out there, from novice to amateur to pro. And so with that in mind, we'd also ask you to help us spread the word. I can't do it alone, and your help is what makes our community thrive. And so if you want to like and subscribe on iTunes, that would be very helpful. Leave a review, that would be even better, and it'll help our podcast rise to the top in iTunes so other worship drummers can find it as well. But again, send it to your worship team members, your other buddies from other churches, maybe the young guys in youth group that are just getting started. We're developing a great resource, and we want people to hear it. And so without further ado, I'm so happy to introduce our first ever guest on the Worship Drummer Podcast. His name is Sean McDonald, and he's the drummer for Matthew West.
I don't normally do like interviews or anything, so this is kind of like a first time deal. So I hope it goes well. We'll see.
No pressure, bro. No pressure. Why don't you just start it off by letting us know that kind of your upbringing, where you're from, how you got started playing drums.
So I grew up in a very musical family. My dad plays trumpet, and my middle brother plays drums as well. Nice. And my oldest plays trombone. And when I was really little, I always wanted to play saxophone for some reason. But that never obviously that never worked out. I started playing drums when I was in fourth grade, because my brother had a kit in the basement, and I would just go around and mess around and try to play along with you know, recordings and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't really that great, but at the time. And so I started going to school. In fifth grade, they had the option to be able to be in band. So I started playing snare drum and bass drum and stuff, and then just kind of continued on through middle school and really liked it. And my teacher in fifth grade, he had me try out a clarinet mouthpiece because I had the interest in saxophone and then to play rhythm. And I couldn't get a sound out of the clarinet mouthpiece at all, but I could play a rhythm. So, so he was like, all right, you're going to be a drummer. So
nice.
I was like, okay, that sounds pretty good to me. I can't complain with that. In middle school, started playing in the jazz band there, and in the concert band and stuff, which was a lot of fun. And both my brothers played jazz in the high school band, and I was like, well, this would be something that I could do and would really like doing. Because, you know, I would come home and listen to a jazz record with my brothers, and I'd be like, this is really cool, you know. So I started playing in the middle school jazz band, and then in high school, the same thing, and just really wanted to do jazz. That's kind of like the main focus. So huge jazz background, loved it. Still try to do it since after college. But college, it was kind of a turn for me, where I still do the jazz thing, but through college, they kind of give you all these different opportunities to play, you know, in like a Latin jazz group, which was great. I loved it. That was cool. And then through the students that you meet there, they kind of bring in all these different influences and stuff. And I had listened to a bunch of rock bands, pop bands, you know, so I wasn't just listening to jazz, but it was, so, you know, and then, I started playing in a group with, a few of the guys that were in some of my music classes, and had like a pop rock band, and then I had a country band, cover band, basically. So, and then also had a small Christian group that from the church that I was going to, but also had some people from the college play. So it was kind of a well-rounded, you know, environment. Wow. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And after college, I had, you know, I was like, well, here, you know, since high school, I've been wanting to do jazz, but I kind of, you know, dipped my hands in a bunch of different things. And I'm like, well, now what I want to do. So, I did a cruise ship for 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. And
that was just kind of like a way of not sure what I want to do.
Yeah.
As I said, and you know, maybe I'll try this because it's a job. And so I did that for 6 months, and then my buddy Jake, who also plays in Matthew West, we went to college together actually. Nice. So I've known him for quite a while.
Is he a guitarist?
Yeah. Okay. He's he's been playing with him for about, I want to say, almost 2 years now.
Sweet.
I think. So he's been a really dear friend of me, and so very thankful for him, because he's the one that got me the gig. So I'm like, oh, sweet. But he was like, dude, you have to come down here. It's a great city, because he moved to Nashville, and I was like, okay.
And sorry, where was your hometown? Maybe I missed that.
Sorry?
Where was your hometown? Maybe I missed that.
Oh, I probably didn't say. It was Decatur, Illinois.
Okay.
Is the hometown. Sorry. Shouldn't have mentioned that. So basically, all through school, I was in Decatur, Illinois. And I went to Millikan University. I don't know if I had said that. Great, great music program. Great. Nice. Staff. Great players that would go through there. Great history, you know. Awesome. So moved to Nashville. And been there for almost 3 years, and got to play with a bunch of different groups, but kind of put the jazz thing aside.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and now it's, you know, but started playing in a bunch of country groups and a Christian group, and now my main thing is a Christian group. So, but I've been wanting to kind of get together a jazz, like, I don't know, like pop arrangement kind of group. I don't know, just to kind of bring it back and be like, hey, I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
You know, just play that again, you know. But, and there's a small jazz scene in Nashville, which is cool. So, and
sweet.
I met a few of the guys, you know, going to some, you know, some shows, and awesome people. They're all like Belmont students or Belmont grads or.
Sure. Cool. So, because usually it's funny when we speak with drummers, especially who are playing for Christian artists or whatever, a lot of them talk more about, oh, I started playing drums in church when I was like 10, or we hear different stories like that. What age, like, I assume you grew up in church. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So how did your education and kind of what you did in church start to blend? Or did you not eat, did you play in church?
I I'm trying to remember when I played back, or when I started playing at church. It was probably I don't know, probably like around maybe 7th or 8th grade or something like that. But I don't know. I was always kind of nervous to be able to play at church because I would just attend, and yeah, I loved going and attending, and they had a youth night at the church I was going to, and I was like, this is kind of cool, you know, I could get involved that way. So I started doing that, and I loved it. It was cool, and it was, you know, great people, and it was kind of getting me more involved in the church, in the church community, and aside from just attending, you know, because yes. You know, I knew some people, but then it was like, all right, now I'm starting to know some musicians there and the people there, and the and really get to know more about the church, and you know, so that was a lot of fun. And then I've kept playing at churches when I can, if I'm not on the road during the weekend, you know.
So is there a church in Nashville that you call home?
Grace Point Church has been a church I've been going to for a while.
Is that Linda Cooley or no?
Stan Mitchell.
Stan Mitchell, okay.
So I've been going there, and it's a great church. Melissa Green is the worship pastor there.
Okay. Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah, she was in Avalon for about 7 years.
Oh, there we go. That's
it. She's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So awesome. I love her vibe. Like, I love her as a person. Just, yeah, she's great.
All right, cool. So you've been in Nashville 3 years, you said, right?
Yeah.
And so, okay, so you moved to Nashville. Was Matthew West your first gig? Like, that was the main reason for that transition? Or I know you said you played with country bands and all that, but kind of just share with us that journey then. You get invited by your friend for a gig or however that started, and then share with us how it led up to where you find yourself today.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. This story. it's kind of like a, like, you know, we all have like, oh, you know, I'd love to play for this person.
Yes.
Or it's like a small little like goal or a small like dream or whatever. It was kind of one of those things. So I think it was Jake. He kind of introduced me to, did I lose you?
No, I'm still there.
Okay. Sorry. My screen's blurry. He showed me, one of Matthew West's records, and I think it was the Story of Your Life record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Story of My Life. I should know the title. I'm the worst. And just through that record, I was really starting to, you know, I really liked the sound, the songs, the messages and stuff. And I was like, this would be really cool to play with this artist. You know, he's really good. And he's also from Millikan University. Mm. So I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So kind of going forward a little bit. So I knew who he was. I knew his music and just kind of wanted to always play with him at some point. And, as soon as I moved to Nashville, his End of the Light record came out, and me and Jake were like, this record's awesome. Like, this is the coolest record. And then, Jake had met the guitar player for Matthew, and just kind of, you know, just talked gear, kept up with each other, you know, just kind of just shared each other's lives and everything and stuff like that, and just kept in touch for a really long time, which was great, you know.
Yeah.
And then he had Matthew guitar player had Jake sub on a weekend. And Jake had, you know, loved that. So, and here I'm like, Jake, man, that's awesome, dude. Like, this is great, man. We both were just like, man, it'd be great to play with this artist. And now you are. And so, you know, I was extremely happy for him. And he killed it. He killed, you know, the music on the weekend and stuff. And then he soon after started playing for Matthew, and then just over. So yeah, so he was with them about 8 or 9 months, and then they needed a drummer for the spring tour of this year.
Yeah,
and it was Matthew, Colton Dixon, and Mr. Talkbox, or Byron Chambers.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
He's awesome. Great dude too. Just a really, really great guy. But they need a drummer, and Jake was like, "Hey, you know, my buddy Sean.
Wow.
he would be more than happy to take the drum chair." So I auditioned in our little like practice space, which is just like it's a storage unit area, but like it's not what you think it would be. Because usual storage unit area, it's like the concrete floor with the metal like enclosed walls,
yeah.
like chicken pig fence or whatever. And so we were gonna get a space like that because we're like, we just want like a 10x10 room. And then we look in there, we're like, okay, this isn't really what we wanted. And he was like, well, we have these band rooms. And when we checked that out, and it's like carpeted walls, wood flooring, nice. Wood ceiling. I'm like, this is great. So, which is great in Nashville because, you know, if you want to have like a practice space, it's, you know, usually like a dedicated area that's like $50 for 3 hours or something like that. So, excuse me. And so that was great. So we kind of had the audition process there and got to meet a few of the guys, and they were like, well, this guy will work, I guess. So I was like, oh, sweet. This guy's okay, you know.
Wow.
He can play two. I mean, I was really nervous because I was like, this is kind of an artist that I've been wanting to play for a long time. And it was just, I was like, man, I hope I don't screw this audition up. Like, I really hope not. So, yeah, and then started playing with Matthew, and you know, ever since February of this year.
So how many tours have you been on since then? Was it just the spring? Was there anything happening summer?
Yeah, we had a spring tour, which was Colton Dixon and Talkbox, as I said.
Yeah.
And then summer dates we had, it was just like some festivals and, you know, playing with a bunch of different artists, and it was awesome meeting those guys. As far as different artists we've you know gotten to be able to share the stage with is Toby Mac, Newsboys, you know,
world class guys,
Jenny Owens. I mean, it's just, the list goes on, you know, and they're all extraordinary people, really, really great people. And so, and then we had just recently finished up our fall tour.
Is that the Live Forever one?
Yeah, well, it was, the spring tour was the Live Forever, and then the fall was like the continuation of that Live Forever tour.
Okay, cool.
And then it was us, Francesco Battistelli, and then Mr. Talkbox again.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And so you played drums for those three artists, correct?
Yeah, this was the first time in a while that I had played just about 3 hours more or less every night, because, you know, college, you know, we'd do a bar gig and it'd be 3 hours straight, and, you know, and now that I'm older, I'm like, I haven't done that in a really long time. So it was kind of something to get used to. The first week of rehearsals that we had was a lot on me physically, just to be able to do it all. And then, you know, after, you know, a few weeks, basically becomes muscle memory more or less.
Wow.
And it gets easier as the tour goes along. But yeah, it was a lot.
So speaking of tour, I know your Winter Jam's coming up. You're going to be on that tour as well.
Yes.
Talk to us about what you do personally just to keep it fresh day in and day out, as opposed to letting things become stale and mundane. You know, you're playing, I'm assuming, similar songs every night, same set lists, perhaps. So from a musical perspective, how do you keep it fresh? And then after that, we'll talk about from a spiritual perspective.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, to keep it fresh. Because you can, yeah, you're right. It's really easy to get in the, you know, the same schedule every single day. Well,
maybe a better way of wording it would be, how do you still bring passion to something you're doing day in and day out? You know, the intensity, because as a musician, if we were watching, I'm assuming we can tell, hey, you know, this guy's just going through the motions tonight, as opposed to, man, every note is intentional. You know, the passion is there. The presence is there.
I don't know. That's a good question. I maybe the best way to answer that is probably just, I don't know. I just try to think about more of why I'm doing this. I would say, because before it wasn't, you know, in other groups that, you know, obviously weren't Christian groups.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
You know, it was just for, you know, the money and just, you know, to pay bills and stuff like that, you know, which, but now it's kind of a different story where, yes, you know, I'm playing every night and, you know, blessed that it's paying the bills, but it's more of, you know, the people coming in and just like, and the messages that, you know, Matthew's saying out there, and just, it's, I don't know, it's kind of a loss for words, because I'm just new to doing this from, you know, like outside from a church, you know,
yeah,
which is great. I love that. But these are just, you know, and not to say that the people at church are different from the people that are coming to the concerts, but it's just like, it's just going out there and like with Matthew and playing behind Matthew. And yes, it's the same music every night, but there's just something there, you know, it's like every night God's presence is just there.
Yeah.
And making it just a fun and exciting thing. Hmm. And, yeah, it's, and just people coming in and after the show, just being like, you know, it's just like, you must do this every single night, but you just seem like you're just having a great time. And I'm like, I never know how to really explain that the best way. It's, you know, because again, I've never really had somebody, you know, too many people ask me that, but it's just kind of like, you know, it's just, I do it for the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all like,
absolutely,
like us on stage and us, them, out in the audience, you know, we're all here to glorify God. And it's just like, that's the thing I try to focus on to try to keep it fresh, even though, you know, it's the same thing, but, you know, and then from just kind of like, you know, a non-spiritual thing,
yeah,
just listening to records, I guess, just, I don't know, like, oh, I heard that, Phil, maybe I'll try that tonight. Or,
yeah. So you do take the liberty to, you know, throw in a few different chops. It's not always cut and dry the same.
Yeah, it's not always the same. And as long as I'm keeping it where I'm not screwing up.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's cool. That's
not
cool.
Throwing Matthew off the rail. But yeah, it's a very like comfortable, freeing, you know, like, he's totally fine, you know, with us doing other things.
That's awesome.
You know, as long as like, all right, you know, yeah, this is the group and this is where we're going to stop. And this is, you know, so, but everything else is just like, it's nice to just be able to kind of, if I want to throw a fill in there, that's not too, you know, crazy or crazy choppy, but you know, just like something small.
Yeah. Well, the stuff I heard with when you were playing with Mr. Talkbox was pretty choppy, and I'm like, man, that's pretty tasty.
Yeah,
it sounds obviously fun to play.
Yeah, because that was the first time that I got to play with him, because last tour, in the spring, when we were taught with Colton Dixon,
yeah,
Colton's drummer Rhett played with him. So, and Rhett's, you know, awesome drummer, and I was like, well, you know, this would be great to be able to play with Talkbox, because his music's cool. It's really awesome. It's really fun. And it's different. It's not, you know, your typical thing, or it's not my typical genre or style of Christian music or whatever that I play. So this is kind of something I got to, that was fresh for sure. If that's back to the question, how to keep it fresh, that was something fresh every night.
Yeah, yeah.
He said to me from the very beginning of the rehearsals, you know, just do you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
And you killed it, I must say.
I'm like, sick. No one says that too much. I'm like, okay, I'll try my best. So yeah, and he loved it, and I loved doing it, and it was a good start to every single night doing that tour.
Yeah,
for sure. And then with Francesca, it was a new list of songs to keep that back to the whole fresh part.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get back on the question that I poorly answered a second ago. So yeah, it was just, yeah, he's a great guy. He's like the Energizer Bunny of the whole tour, you know, like, and I've said that a lot. Like, he's just always in a great mood, and he's just so loving and accepting, and he's the man.
Nice.
He's serious, man. He's awesome.
So sweet, man. So tell me, on tour, you guys are a group, you're traveling, you know, show to show, town to town. Is there anything you guys do together from a spiritual perspective? Like, you know, it's like every day we're going to do devos together. So there's this corporate thing going on. And then personally, like, what do you do on tour just to stay connected to God? And again, just like from a musical point, just not let things get stale.
So every day we do devos. It's like usually like at 3 o'clock, you know, because you can, on the road, you can kind of get a little too wrapped up in, you know, all these lights aren't working. Like they're not set up, or my drums are not sounding great today, you know, or it's usually just a mental thing, or like the drums are, you know, the older, or the heads are about, you know, 2 weeks old and I should change them. But, you know, we just get wrapped up in all this stuff that just clouds our mind and it doesn't, you know, keep us focused on what, you know, what's really important, honestly.
Yeah.
And the 3 o'clock devos every day is a really good time to clear our head, get our, you know, just a reboot of like, all right, this is what we're all here for. This is what brought us all together. Like, we're here because, you know, because of God. Like, we want to be here. We love being here. And it's just, it's a great time. And then we have prayer after the whole thing, and just to be able to just have a group of people that are there for you if you have, like, a, you know, a problem or an issue throughout the day, or, you know, just, you know, like, oh, you know, pray for me for my strength tonight so I can somehow get to this show, you know. So,
oh yeah, for sure, man.
Anything. It's just it's a really warming and loving feeling to be able to have that every day with a group of people that, you know, you surround yourself with on the road, you know. And again, it can get very hectic.
I believe it.
And everybody out there knows, you know, it can get really hard, but having that is really, 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 really great, for sure.
For sure. And with Worship Drummer, that's one of the things that I would say marks kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. Gear, and we'll get to that in a second. We love gear, and we can get all caught up and hung up in all this stuff. But that's why we use the hashtag heart before beat, because it's always a constant reminder. And I'll try, even when I leave comments on Instagram or whatever, to always put it and just be an encouragement, be a source of encouragement for people, because we do forget. And putting the heart before beat just kind of is like, it's true. This is a spiritual thing we're a part of. It's not just a nuts and bolts kind of thing. And so it's cool to hear that on tour. So people are showing up, buying tickets. They're all super pumped. God's going to show up. But there's the preparation. You guys are meeting together, praying together. So it's just cool. We don't often think about those things. So it's cool to know that it does happen, and what you guys do is a ministry as well. So
yes,
thanks for doing what you do is what I'm trying to say.
I love doing it, and it's ministering to us, you know, as individuals. It's you know, it's great, and we love it, and it's very, very, very refreshing.
You know, cool, from man.
The time at the Devos to playing at the show to just talking to people after the shows and before shows and just, you know, praying for them praying for us, you know, it's I don't know.
Yeah.
It's indescribable. I love it. It's great.
And, well, for me growing up, I remember every concert I've been to. I remember the drummers who've taken the time to talk and how it influenced me. Not even spiritually necessarily, but just in general, in my aspirations, just I'm like, wow, he took the time to talk. And yeah. And growing up as a young kid playing drums in church, that for me made a world of difference. And I continued to serve the Lord in that way because I was seeing these guys do it on the big stage, so to speak. So anyways, very cool. We're going to transition and switch our conversation to what I know a lot of people get excited about. But we had to put the heart before the beat. And now we're going to talk some gear. And I know you play Risen drums. So
yeah.
I'm going to not, I won't do any of the talking. So you can just give us a run.
You can talk if you want, man.
you can give us a rundown of what you're playing. And then just also touch on if you have any endorsements, how did that come about, if you do, and yeah, just give us that rundown.
Well, with, you know, talking to JD, I really got to give it up to those guys at Risen, seriously, putting up with, and like, oh, I want this, but, I, you know, like, there's all these questions, and they're like, okay, you know. You know, because we all want to have what we want, you know, and we're trying to achieve the sound, but they know how to translate all of the things that I've said and what people have said to the kit that we want.
Wow.
And I've got my kit here, you know, and it's
so
awesome.
Sweet, man.
I had to bring it up with me to my parents' place because, like, I just got these drums. I want to play them.
Come
I can't
on.
Just leave them in the chair. I can't. So, right now, the kit that I'm playing right now is a maple 8-ply Risen drum set. It's a champagne sparkle with their you know, their normal rims, normal lugs, and everything. So, Risen's the drum set, and the snares that I play are all Ludwig, mainly Black Beauty. I got a Black Beauty bronze, and I was like, they made these because usually they're brass. Well, like the standard Black Beauty is brass,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Bronze from my buddy Andy. Those of you in Nashville know him as the Drum Tamer.
I've seen him on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, he's just like he has great gear, and he always sells it, and it's just, you know, it's always great gear, you know, and he's
sweet.
It's a little different. It's a little warmer of a Black Beauty, and I like it because, you know, I'm not the best tuner, but it helps.
Yeah,
absolutely. This ring, or you know, or like the heads that I have are too thin for the drum, and it just gets these rings, and it just keeps it. It just kind of keeps it more in check. And then the sticks that I play are ProMark. And I just recently switched over to the Benny Greb because I normally play the 5Bs, the natural wood, and then I was like, I'm missing the response off the cymbal, you know, like a Vic First stick would have, and I just remember that my buddy used to play the Benny Greb sticks, huge influence on me.
Cool.
Sure, Benny Greb, awesome drummer. And I try them out, and they've got everything that I need. Like, they have the Vic Firth rebound off the cymbals and the heads, but they have the ProMark, like, attack on the snare. Like, when you're hitting the snare,
yeah,
you're hitting the snare, and it feels really good. So it has all the tools and the characteristics that I need out of a stick, you know, cool. More or less.
Bending grab.
I love it. It's great. And cymbals, I play Meinl, and that's kind of a big thing. But I've been back and forth with Instagram, Istanbul.
Istanbul, yeah.
And their Exist series on the Istanbul series is, or the Istanbul cymbals is great. It's kind of more their beginner line, kind of like B8s and
okay,
you know, Z's and stuff like that. But they don't sound how you would expect them to sound, you know, nice. Like, and man, they're warm, they're dark, they're full, and they work. And a few of the videos I have up have that. I've got the 15-inch Exist hi-hats, 20-inch Exist crash, and 22 Exist crash, and then the other ones, I have the 15-inch pure vintage Meinls.
Mm.
Which those hi-hats are really interesting. They're dark, but they're articulate, and they're nice and washy and full. Really like those, and I'll probably end up like keeping those for a really long time because they're great. And they're great for live playing. They're great for studio stuff. They're very versatile, too, and I like them. And then I just picked up another 21-inch medium crash through Meinl, the Byzant. Sorry, so Meinl, I'm playing all the Byzant series.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's the 21-inch crash, and then a 20 crash medium, and then a 22 dark ride Meinl, and it's that thing sounds really good. It's I kind of lay into the ride a little bit, and that ride allows for me to really lay into it. But it sits really, like, really well in the mix.
Sweet.
And it's a very interesting ride, and I really, really like it, and I've enjoyed playing it. And I've actually broken one before.
No way.
Yeah, and I broke my 21-inch crash, and that's why I said I replaced it. But when I was out on the road, I just bought those Istanbuls as kind of a replacement. So I was like, these are great, but you know, the 21-inch crash Meinl is great, but, so I just replaced the ride and the crash, and it still sounds great. It just lays in the mix well, cause I just had to have that ride, and it's perfect for Matthew. And then when you kind of lay on, with the shoulder of the stick on the top of the ride cymbal, you know, it has a nice, like it pierces a little bit more. Than actually, sweet. You know, crushing it as if you were to hit it like a crash cymbal.
Yeah.
And the bell, great, and you know, it's great. Hardware, I usually use Yamaha, just the single brace boom. You know, not too heavy. I don't need anything heavy duty. And then I have the DW snare stand. I forget the series model, but it's one of the newer ones. Like, oh, it's the P9 something. I should know that. I feel like not a drummer not knowing that. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You know what? I can relate with you because I'm like, I just love playing drums, but I'm not necessarily a gear nerd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, sound good? That's good enough. I just want to play.
Yes. And I'm like, the snare sounds good. I don't know why, but it does. And then another guy will probably say like, oh, well, this is why. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Sweet. Can you tell me more? Like, you know, so
never stop learning.
I'm definitely, you know, a guy that really likes to play more than research, you know, stuff. So
totally.
We relate. I love that.
I love it.
But Bassdrum pedals, I have used, man, this is the pedal that I highly recommend a lot. And DW is huge. People love the 9000s. They're like, oh man, which is like everybody's like 9000. I've played those pedals and they're great. They are great. I love them. But I had a pedal since high school, so probably 10 years. It's the Iron Cobra Power Glide.
Yes.
Yeah. It's I think I've adjusted the spring or made minor tweaks like 2 years into getting it. And I had the same beater since the first time I've had it.
Same exact story.
Yeah. It's like, it's got that much felt left. And I just now replaced it with the Zorro, the Zorro beater.
Nice. The,
have you seen those?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh man. Check him out. Do you know the drummer Zorro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's another good Christian guy too.
Oh yeah, he's awesome.
Amazing.
He teaches at Belmont in Nashville, and I've been meaning to try to go in there and get a lesson with him because he's
do it.
He's the. But his beater, it's a square beater, and it just has the punch, and power sound full. It sounds correct. It'll make like a bass that doesn't sound too like oomphy and thuddy. Sound thuddy, but more punch, and it's great. So but sweet. But I just got another Iron Cobra Power Glide pedal.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's gonna be a day where my pedal is just gonna break. But it's been 10 years.
Yeah, I bought mine about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
In 2000.
They last, and they always it's felt the same since I've gotten it as far as the springs and everything. So
smooth.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the case with the pedals. I don't know, but I've just used that same pedal, and I've always loved it, and I've tried other ones, and that's the one that's home for me, and likewise. Just got the new one, and it feels the same. But they got the new bottom spring on the new Iron Cobras, which, sweet. I mean, it's great. I love it.
So, what does that bottom spring do?
It allows for the pedal to gump, like, to spring back up.
Oh,
I guess. I mean, you'd figure side spring would normally, you know, do that, but it just allows for more control.
Wow.
You know, I would say
it's
new, and I'm not having a problem with it. So whatever they're doing, it's still working.
It's working. Nice.
for my feet. You know.
Yeah.
Not the one that knows all, tells all, but it works.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And what about drum cases? I know that's an odd question, but since you're touring now, I'm sure you had to think through some of that.
Yeah, I have. I've got a mixture of cases. So the actual like shell cases that I have are the Humsenberg like, just hard shell cases. I wish I had trunks, like big old trunks, but I don't have the money to get that carted anywhere. But I've got a van, which is great for gear.
Sweet.
But the trunks wouldn't fit in my van. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pray that the cases don't get smushed by like the genie, you know, for the trussing.
Yeah.
Fall off of it and then like completely pancake the drum. Man. But, you know, so I trust all the crew guys, and they are the hardest working people on the road. Got to put that out there. They're awesome. But
I believe it.
Oh yeah, Humsenberg's drum cases, the SKB cymbal case, and like the trap case. It's got the cymbal holder on the side.
Oh yeah.
That's like the coolest case. It's got the little pull out tray, and then it's got the, you know, the slide. Yeah, so that case is great, and I picked up from another artist that I used to play for. We're about to go out on the road, and I'd always talked about getting one of those coffin hardware cases.
Yes, yeah.
I don't want to like tear it down like three different ways to be able to fit, you know, all in this SKB case, and this guy was like, yeah, I've got these, you know, these road cases. If anybody's interested in it, I was just talking about purchasing a coffin case to my buddy as we're driving to bus call.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, I've got this case. It's an old Martin light case.
Hmm.
And it's kind of weird. And I looked at it. And I was like, how much do you want for this case right now? And it's a practically brand new case.
Wow.
And he was like, $20. Like $20?
Wow.
What is wrong with you? Okay, sure. $20, you could easily sell that case for probably like, you know, at least $200.
$200.
I mean,
yeah.
it was great case, great casters, you know, just, you know, perfect. Wow. So I'm like, I took all my stands out of my SKV case, put them all in there, and actually, like, had all the components together per cymbal stand, hi-hat stand, just put it all in there.
Wow.
I was like,
come on.
This is going to speed up everything. So
20 yeah. bucks. That was probably purchase of the year.
Yeah, I was like, if I'm ever going to buy it, I'll just sell that case and probably still make money off of it. But but yeah, no, that's like the most random piece of case or most random case that I've got. That doesn't make any sense, but it works, and I love it. So but yeah. Sweet.
Huh, I'm glad I asked that question because there was a cool story in it.
Yeah, it's people are like, what is that case? I'm like, you'll never guess how I got this case. It's a light case, and like we have there are some other Martin cases out on the road this tour, so they were like, oh yeah, not that Martin case, it's that Martin case. I'm like, they're bringing up this big old like light. I'm like, yeah, sorry for the confusion, guys, my bad. I'll try to get that sticker off.
Too good. That's awesome, man. As we wrap things up, actually, why don't you tell us, you are on social media. I know you have a YouTube page. So why don't you just tell us how we can find you and just kind of follow you around as you grow and develop even further as a famous drummer.
Famous. No. Man. So I try to remember every like, oh, it's this and this, at this and this. I'm trying to remember.
Well, Instagram is at Sean McDonald 89, right?
Yeah, you know more than I do. This is amazing. Because it's horrible because our phones just, like, open up the app.
Totally.
And it just kind of leaves my mind. So I have to, like, keep a piece of, like, a notes document on my desktop. Because I have so many different, like, usernames and the different passwords, because like, oh, you need to change your password. I'm like, okay.
Oh man.
So it gets pretty hectic, which is like totally lame that I'm
no, but I
yeah,
get
so,
it.
Yeah, the Instagram is Sean McDonald 89.
Sean is SEAN, right?
Correct. Right. Mick, not Mac, McDonald 89. And my YouTube, I think it's just.
I think it was just your name, right? Sean McDonald.
Yeah, I think it's just my name, but then that gets confusing with the artist, Sean McDonald, which is SHAWN.
Man.
I can't tell you how many times people have, like, are you the? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I've been, you know, yeah, so.
Oh, but crazy. Yeah,
it's SEAN, and you know, I've got those videos up there. I've been meaning to try to get some sort of website going, to kind of for contact and emails, you know, and just try. I'm hoping to start teaching some lessons here, but I got to work that out.
So
I got to start
sweet.
Talking to teachers and stuff.
What was I gonna say about this? On YouTube, so you're using a GoPro, I assume, to record those videos, and then the audio is great, so I'm assuming it's not the GoPro audio. So just tell us how you get that done.
I had some videos that I from our summer shows that I was going to put up from just the GoPro audio. I was like, man, that's not very good. Yeah. Visually, great.
Yeah.
But I mean, the audio, surprisingly, from a GoPro is not bad, to be completely honest. I was like, this is not bad. I might use this. So I waited and waited, and then I started, you know, I finally got to use the front of house audio. We just kind of plugged in the computer, you know, and recorded it from that. And then just had the GoPro video, which is, I mean, GoPros are great. I mean, if you're trying to make any videos, I mean, the new iPhones have really, really good quality for video pictures and stuff. And surprisingly good audio too.
Until you get a phone call as you're filming.
Yeah, and then it shuts it all down and you're like, I wish I had the GoPro. But yeah. Because the GoPros will make phone calls. So, yeah, my – and it's not even my GoPro. It's my buddy's, and he – I've just been very, very fortunate to for him – for me to be able to, like, him allow me to borrow it and trust me with it out on the road and not get destroyed. So, yeah, and as far as how I recorded the drums, we only had a certain amount of outputs out of the board. So we just did each drum track separately, and then we had so it was all separate. So I think there was probably like maybe like nine tracks for drums or 10 tracks for drums, and then a left and right mix of the whole mix, and like audience mics or something like that. So you know, you got the so basically it was kind of like how our front of house guy had it mixed before, you know, he did all the crazy stuff to it, you know, and editing and stuff like that. But you know, it was still mixed well, you know. So yeah, I've got to give it up to our sound guy, man. He's killing it out there, and he's making me sound good, that's for sure. And and I have to give it up for, you know, to Risen with their drums, man. They just know how to, they know how to make drums. And I had the mahogany kit out that tour. And so it was nice and warm, really warm and perfect for what I'm trying to go for. But I had, since I was playing with Francesca, I was like, so how am I going to mix, you know, Francesca's stuff with Matthew's stuff? And they're like, well, you know, like there's, you know, the song Holy Spirit, there's a big Tom, the very big Tom song. And there's a few other parts in her music that are very Tom driven and Matthew as well. But, and then also trying to get that like very punchy forward sounding kit. And they're like, well, I mean, the mahogany kit's usually a good mix with that, you know, because you have the full toms. And the kick drum's nice and punchy, but it's still warm, and you know. And then for Winter Jam, I'll be doing I'm just kind of off track. I'm kind of on a tangent. On Winter Jam, Keith is the owner of Risen. He's been supplying me with a lot of information of kind of like, well, you know, if you're doing this, this would probably work. What do you think about that? And so he thought that having the Maple Kit out, because it'd be an arena tour, something punchy but full, but something that just kind of like cuts through. I was like, man, that sounds great to me. And it's a different kit too. So I'm like trying out two different kits because I had never heard the drums before. And I was like, well, this is kind of a risk. But it turned out, you know, it turned out great. I was like, you know, this is the fun risk. it sounds great. And I just kind of mic'd up an overhead and a kick drum mic just to hear, you know, the overall sound, and they're sounding great. So, but yeah, and with Winter Jam, there'll be more videos to come, and it kind of goes along with, you know, with the mindset of, well, if I'm playing or if I want to learn these Matthew songs or, you know, Josh Wilson song or Keith Urban or whatever, you know, it's like, you know, what's the drummer that's doing that stuff live doing? And I search that stuff up all the time, you know, for country gigs or if I'm at church or something, I'm like, well, the recording's cool, but what's another side of it? There's a whole another side of things that's like, oh, well, they actually don't go to that chorus yet. They do this cool instrumental jam that kind of, you know, so it's like, or this bridge is different from the record. Maybe we could do that. Or that drum part, he kind of does a, you know, he kind of goes about it a little differently. So I used to always like kind of knowing what those two different things were. And if I'm ever going into like a new band gig, you know, where I'm playing with a new artist, I'm like, do you have any live recordings? Because that just skips it right to the point. It's like, well, I get where you're going with the recordings from the studio, but how are your drummers doing it live? You know? So I just kind of went in with that. And I mean, that's stuff that, you know, everybody already knows. So I figured, well, I'll just do that. I'll just do live videos. I don't know if I'll ever do any like tutorial or like educational videos or whatever, or maybe just keep that to if I were to do Skype lessons or personal lessons. But it's cool, and people have been very, very nice, and the words that they've been saying about all these videos, and it kind of keeps me wanting to do it, And there's been a few people that have said, at some of the shows they've looked me up on like Facebook or whatever, and they're like, hey, are you ever gonna put up any videos? And I'm like, yes, I am, actually. He's like, man, I really want to learn the bridge to Hello, My Name Is. And I was like, you're in love. You just wait. And then when I put it up, he commented on the video, and he's like, thanks for putting this up, man. I'm really glad you did this. This is really great. I'm like, cool. So it's great because, people want to see it, and it's definitely a thing within the drummer community that I've seen more and more. Like, people really love to see drum covers and drummers play, and because it's just a visual thing, and people can kind of understand it a little bit easier, and it's fun. So yeah, I'm gonna be doing more of those.
Wow, so cool, bro. Listen, we have time for one more question, and this is the big one. If you can give one piece of advice to any worship drummer listening, what would it be?
This was told by one of the worship pastors I'm trying to figure out, since I come from like a jazz background, and just, always playing, really choppy, like, oh yeah, chops and stuff like that, and just, really busy and, not playing the standard 2 and 4 and simple stuff. One of the guys at church was just like, can you just play like, 4 on the floor and just keep it simple. And I was like, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. And this was like way, way, way early in my church playing. It was just like, so I tried that and I was like, but I like wanted to do like that crazy fill, like, into the chorus, and he's like, can you just do something simpler? And I'm like, sure. But he was really good with allowing you to do what you want to do and playing you what you want to play, but to a way that's going to sound good with everybody. He's kind of like, in a concert band, it's like he would like direct you in a way to where like, well, I need you to be a little quieter or play that, a little straighter or it's just so. He was really good at just kind of making the group sound really, really good, but still having fun, having your liberties. But the one thing that players can get a little confused on is like they listen to all these recordings and stuff, like these rock drummers and stuff like that, like John Bonham, going crazy. And then they try to put that. I've seen some guys put that in the church playing, and I'm like, this is a different thing, and so you got to play, play the room. That's a big thing. And then just playing something that's not necessarily showy, because they're not there to hear you blow chops. They're there to for God and to worship and and so it's just try not to think of playing in a worship band where you're worried about all of that, what you're doing, try to open your ears and, kind of put yourself to be, in the room instead of in your, most of the time, little cage, like letting the beast out of the cage. That was always my joke. And just blending with everybody and playing well with everybody, and not being a drummer, but being a musician and adapting everything. And then from the worship side of things, just making it and playing and just remembering what it's really all about. It's like, oh, I'm going to play this fill, but like, it's that's cool. But most of the people won't ever notice that, So just, I don't know. I just playing the appropriate way, you know, and recordings are a perfect representation of that. You know, so if you have a song where you're learning it in church, listen to the recording, you know, and then maybe put your twist on it or whatever, but not in a way to where it's like, it's your show, you know? And again, and I used to be that way when I was a lot younger, and then I learned really quick, and I was like, I'm really glad that guy said something, because now in Nashville, it's like, you know, nobody wants the showy drummer. They just want a guy that can just lay into the pocket and play. It's like half the time, don't even play fills. Just play the groove, feel good. Like, I'm like, what? No spoon? Like, what is this? You know, just play the time. And it's just, that's, you know, especially in the studio, that's what a lot of people want, you know? And then just, you know, practicing and making it, you know, sound good and feel good, you know, practicing is key. And, you know, whether that be like reading music or just playing along with records, is just, that's kind of like a typical thing of advice. It's just practice, you know, like you do your daily devotionals, you go to church, you know, it's like, those are the things that you do, you know, and then from, you know, as, you know, as a follower and stuff like that. And, you know, as a drummer, it's like, you got to practice every day. You got to, you know, for that concert on Sunday, you know, so it's like, you know, but just, it's just the daily routine, you know, and just always remembering what it's really about.
Well, there you have it. Our very first episode with Sean McDonald is now in the books. It's funny that it was his first formal interview, so to speak, for our very first podcast. And so just want to say thank you for tuning in and listening. We have so much more on the way. We've already recorded a ton of podcasts. It's just a matter of putting them out there to you now. And so please make sure you like and subscribe on iTunes. As well, spread the word through social media, let your friends know, and it's here to be a valuable resource to you as you learn to serve God and put the heart before the beat.